Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Israel firmly rejects this latest PR stunt. We have got that story. Plus, what if the J6 pipe bomber was a woman's soccer player for the CIA? But first, BBC boss, head of news, both quit after criticism of Trump documentary edit, and that ain't all. Tim Davie resigns as BBC director general after accusations of serious and systemic bias in coverage. Tim Davie, D-A-V-I-E, the BBC's director general and the head of BBC News, two different people, have resigned after a former advisor to the corporation accused it of serious and systemic bias in its coverage of issues, including, of course, Donald Trump, but also Gaza and trans rights. In an announcement that caused shock within the corporation, Davie said his departure was entirely my decision, and it comes as the BBC prepares to apologize for the way it edited a Trump speech. Meanwhile, Deborah Turness, T-U-R-N-E-S-S, the head of BBC News, has also resigned. Sources within the department described a mood of dismay at Turness's exit. "It feels like a coup," one said, or maybe an insurrection. "This is the result of a campaign by political enemies of the BBC." These are the sort of anonymous statements from inside the Beeb. "It was a huge moment for the corporation as it heads into critical talks with the government over its future and funding. The hunt is now on to fill two of the biggest roles in British media. The Commons Culture, Media, and Sport Select Committee," quite the title, "had a Monday deadline for the BBC to respond to the claims made by Michael Prescott, a former independent external advisor to its Editorial Guidelines and Standards Committee." He left that role in the summer. Prescott criticized the editing of Trump's speech in an edition of their show Panorama, which spliced together clips from an address of the U.S. president made on 6 January 2021. The edit suggested Trump told the crowd, quote, "We're going to walk down the Capitol and I'll be with you and we'll fight like hell." Those parts being about an hour away from each other in his original speech. The words were taken from sections of his speech almost an hour apart. Davie's departure comes after a torrid year in which the BBC, it's a very British word, torrid. Davie's departure comes after a torrid year in which the BBC has been criticized over the comments of one of their former presenters, Gary Lineker. The live streaming of a Glastonbury Festival performance by overrated rap punk duo Bob Villain, which I believe we reported for you, and criticisms over a Gaza documentary. BBC boss and head of news both quit as BBC to also review its bias in climate change coverage, James. And we go way back in the Wayback Machine to 2013, where you had the BBC exposed. James, I was a little surprised and excited to see this story a couple days ago.
It is surprising. It is surprising that something is actually seemingly happening, even if it will just bring in a new lot of propagandists. At any rate, some people are feeling some sort of career pressure based on the lies that they've told, which is in some way satisfying. Having said that, of course, all of the attention on this in the media has been on the Panorama editing, which is absolutely, I mean, shameless propaganda, obviously, and journalistically undefendable. But it kind of buries the lead on the real systemic bias that is at the BBC, not their anti-Trump bias, not their pro-Hamas bias, as some of the same outlets that are talking about the Panorama editing are trying to portray it, but as Media Lens, Broken Clock Twice a Day, has accurately reported in a recent post on inversion of reality. They talk about the BBC's real bias. For example, its bias in its reporting of the Gaza Holocaust. Palestinian deaths treated as less newsworthy. Systemic language bias favoring Israelis. Suppression of genocide allegations. Muffling Palestinian voices. And they have a document that cites a Center for Media Monitoring report that came out a year or two ago about the systemic bias against Palestinians for Israel in BBC reporting. So I think we should concentrate on all of the various ways in which the BBC is a propaganda organization. Otherwise, we risk simply bringing in a new lot of propagandists who, don't worry, guys, they'll edit Trump properly this time, but they'll still do all of the same tricks when they're supporting the Israeli genocide.
Do you have anything on what's the trans coverage? Which way were they?
So Yeah, I did read about a presenter who was saying something on air in which the script read pregnant people, and she rolled her eyes and corrected it to pregnant women. And there were apparently 20 complaints or something that the BBC received over that, because that showed that she was biased against trans people. So there's something about that tempest in a teapot. But again, what, 20 whole people complained about it. I mean, wow, an amazing amount.
That's coming from somebody that used to work in small radio. All it takes is one crank sometimes to actually take you down. Again, because the people at the top don't want any trouble whatsoever. Hey, speaking of genocide accusations, our second story on this New World Next Week, episode 609, Turkey issues arrest warrant for Israel's Netanyahu over Gaza genocide Holocaust. Turkey, the T-U-R-K-I-Y-E, that's how I'm supposed to spell Turkey. No, get real, Kiev. Turkey says it has issued arrest warrants for genocide against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other senior Israeli officials. Among 37 suspects are listed, including Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz, National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir, and Army Chief Lieutenant General Eyal Zamir. This according to a statement from the Istanbul Prosecutor's Office, which did not publish the complete list. Turkey has accused the officials of genocide and crimes against humanity that Israel has perpetrated systematically in its war on Gaza since October 2023. Israel denounced the move as a PR stunt. Israel firmly rejects with contempt the latest PR stunt by the tyrant Erdogan, Foreign Minister Gideon Saar posted on X. The Palestinian group Hamas, the aforementioned Hamas, welcomed the announcement, calling it a commendable measure, confirming the sincere positions of the Turkish people and their leaders who are committed to the values of justice, humanity, and fraternity that bind them to our oppressed Palestinian people. Turkey's announcement comes almost 1 year after the International Criminal Court issued arrest warrants for Netanyahu and his former defense minister, Yoav Gallant, for alleged war crimes. Turkey last year also joined South Africa's case, accusing Israel of genocide at the International Court of Justice. Meanwhile, the also aforementioned President Donald Trump urges for Netanyahu pardon when he flew to Israel to address the Knesset. You hate it when Netanyahu comes to the U.S. Congress. It's the same difference. Did Trump kiss the wall again? I mean, as long as you're there. And we will flash back again to some classic Corbett work. Episode 458, Meet Benjamin Netanyahu, Unconvicted War Criminal. James, sidebar, I did not put into our show note prep. Did you know he went to school in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, America? Whew, I learned that one recently on A Morning Monarchy because people are actually petitioning to get him removed from the website that talks about all the illustrious people that went to this school in Philadelphia, which, of course, he would love to be removed and that they wouldn't have any of that trouble anymore. Just amazing stuff here. Also, in related news, President Trump meets with President Al-Qaeda.
James. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. No, the reason why Netanyahu essentially rose up the ranks of Israeli politics was because he was the guy who spent time in America and can actually speak like an American. You know, so honestly, that was the PR move that made him famous during the Gulf War 1.0 when he was on CNN and was able to speak, you know, like an American to Americans.
As dumb as that sounds and as dumb as Americans can be, that does go a long way. Yep. And I've certainly myself, dumb American, been surprised when some world leaders are on the news. I'm like, damn, his English is much better than my Turkish. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, so I did actually cover that a little bit in my Unconvicted War Criminal episode. So I hope people will go back to that. Maybe I should re-release it under the title Indicted War Criminal. I'm not sure he's indicted. I'm not sure what the specific legal term for this is, but he is under arrest warrant now, not only from the ICC, but Turkey. And on the very unserious note, I will say that my initial reaction to the story was exactly the same as yours. No. I am not calling it Chicken Kiev. And I will call it Turkey, T-U-R-K-I-Y-E, when everyone else starts writing Tokyo in kanji. Then maybe we'll start calling it Turkey. But anyway, on the more serious note, Unfortunately, yes, for anyone who's still clinging to some idea as Trump is going to be some savior in any of this, not only did he make that trip over to Israel last month to beg, please forgive him, he has now just sent a letter to Israeli President Isaac Herzog asking him to fully pardon Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And you should read this letter for yourself. You can go and actually read it. As the great state of Israel and the amazing Jewish people move past the terribly difficult times of the last 3 years of committing genocide, I hereby call on you to fully pardon Benjamin Netanyahu, who has been a formidable and decisive wartime prime minister and is now leading Israel into a time of peace. Oh, yes, the peace prime minister. Just forgive him for whatever corruption. Nah, who cares, guys? Just pardon him. I wonder if he'll make a similar trip to Turkey. Please, guys, just drop these war crime charges. He's a prime minister of peace now. Anyway, it just goes to show you what side everyone's bread is buttered on and what's really happening here. Who's holding their, who's holding their breath or their cough in order to imagine that this is going to result in his actual arrest? I recently covered on The Dark Legacy of Dick Cheney the fact that, do you remember the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal found Cheney and Bush and Rumsfeld and five other neocons guilty of war crimes in 2012? Still waiting on that arrest. Maybe they can go to the graveyard for Dick. But anyway, so I'm not assuming this is going to result in an arrest anytime soon, but at any rate, it is on the record. Unconvicted war criminal, but getting closer and closer to hopefully being convicted.
And really, Israel's pardons aren't going to do squat for him when it comes to the international war crimes charges, James. That is a lot. I took a little bit of time off last week from Media Monarchy, and my membership have made a meme years back that shows monarchy's taken off the air. Here comes international world events. I'm like, oh, damn, Cheney died. I had a member say, you should take time more often. We can keep cleaning these folks out. Our third and final story, really interesting one, James. This one's got me on the conspiratainment train. New analysis suggests January 6th pipe bomber is a former U.S. Capitol Police officer turned CIA security. This coming from Zero Hedge, mostly sourcing back to the Blaze. Everything we say and play always included down in your show notes. If you're not able to give these weird videos to your friends and family, you can give them the links. A new forensic analysis into the aforementioned January 6th pipe bomb case has concluded that a former U.S. Capitol Police officer's gate, G-A-I-T. Remember years back when they were rolling out the gate analysis to see if you're a terrorist in the airports? They've used that same technology. Again, I love it when police state technology can actually ensnare the police state. A former U.S. Capitol Police officer's gait, how they walk, is a 94 to 98% match to the unique stride of the January 6th pipe bomb suspect, Blaze Media reports, following an investigation which was confirmed by several intelligence sources. According to the investigation, former U.S. Capitol Police officer Shawnee Ray Kirkhoff is a high probability match to the unidentified pipe bomb suspect seen on surveillance video January 5th, 2021. Kirkhoff, who served 4.5 years on the Capitol Police Force before leaving suddenly in mid-2021 for a security position later described by the CIA as campus security, was matched through a forensic gait analysis software tool that compared her stride to the suspect's. Software used in the analysis placed the match at 94%, but the newest one says it's more like 98%. Several intelligence officials who reviewed the findings concurred, again, whoever these intelligence officials are. Interestingly, Kirkhoff's residence in Alexandria, Virginia, appeared to be monitored by law enforcement officers last week. As Blaze News editor-in-chief Christopher Bedford said, he was pulled over by police after stopping to observe the home, but later released. The new analysis has revived scrutiny of the FBI's mishandling of the case. Former FBI Special Agent Kyle Serafin told Blaze News that in the days immediately after J6, he and his team conducted surveillance one door away from the residence now tied to the suspected individual, kind of like one of those Sandy Hook houses they might have mixed up. He says the team was pulled off the assignment without explanation, and requests to interview a person linked to the suspect's movements were denied. Serafin said he had recounted these details publicly since 2021, but that this new work from Blaze vindicates his account. The FBI tied a Smart Trip Metro card allegedly used by the suspect to an Air Force civilian employee. Sidebar, the DC Metro is lovely. Agents conducted 2 days of surveillance, but were instructed not to interview him, Serafin said. James, these just hit all the like 9/11 kind of intelligence agent red flags for me. The Bureau has not addressed the claim publicly. Kirkhoff, 31, is a former Division I athlete from Ohio who played goalkeeper at Temple University and later for Columbus Eagles Football Club. A significant leg injury in college required surgery and left her with a slight limp, an element noted by the gait analysis, who reviewed her movements from Capitol Police security footage. Kirkhoff joined the U.S. Capitol Police in 2018, served in the Civil Disturbance Unit, and was a training officer for crowd control munitions deployed on January 6th. Blaze News also reported this week that surveillance video shows Kirkhoff and other officers firing less lethal rounds that struck multiple individuals above the waist on the Capitol's West Plaza. She left the force months after the riot and worked security at the CIA. Dude, I don't know if I need to read any more of this. Former Capitol Police officer, a forensic match for January 6th pipe bomber, sources say. I've got the original Blaze link for you. And it reminds me of the story from Army Times that I feel like I was the only one I heard talking about this back in 2021. Army PSYOP officer resigned commission prior to leading group to DC protests, January 11th, 2021. Intelligence cutouts don't usually know what they're up to on the macro level. Again, we've talked about this in early days of 9/11 Truth 101. It's compartmentalization. They just know they're supposed to go to work at the book depository. I just know I'm supposed to hijack some planes or tell people tomorrow we go into the Capitol. James, this is some pretty tasty conspiratainment for me, I must say.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I will confess to being an outsider on this story because I have not followed the January 6th story at all. I mean, just from the very beginning, it always just smelled like a false flag that didn't go off the way they wanted it to. So, you know, let's shove that under the rug. But continue to refer to it as the biggest thing that's ever happened to America since 9/11 or whatever nonsense they've been trying to pull. It's always just smelt to high heaven. So the idea that there are informants all over this and whatever is not surprising at all. In fact, it would be genuinely surprising if there was a single large-scale terror bust or big, you know, big-scale event that wasn't either FBI literal informants or just literally mentally handicapped people who have been set up as patsies by and enabled by FBI forces. But don't worry, guys. You know, QAnon white hats, you know, keep the faith, because now that we've got Kash Patel as FBI director, he's going to get to the bottom of all of this, just like he did with the Epstein files. Having said that, I think the interesting part of the story that jumps out to me is, as you mentioned, the gait analysis, because it is a good reminder that biometrics does not just mean staring into the orb with your iris scans. They have all sorts of ways of identifying you. And I remember years and years ago hearing about the new kind of cameras they were installing that would be able to detect your heartbeat and other such things and try to determine who you are by the way the blood is flowing through your veins and whatever nonsense, amazing, crazy, weird ass technology they have going behind the scenes. Oh yeah, gait analysis as well. So wear your V for Vendetta mask all you want. They still have ways of trying to identify you.
Also remember, every time you buy a V for Vendetta mask, Warner Brothers gets cha-ching paid. James, you've heard me refer to J6 pretty much as the Capitol Cat Riot. Cat owners know if you set out a box, your cat cannot help but go jump in that box. And that pretty much feels like the J6 situation. Perfect storm of all of it. And they're also now saying, of course, this relates to Nancy Pelosi's control of the Capitol Police. She announced she's not going to run again seconds before this story was going to break. Her daughter, who used to be a documentary filmmaker, she's going to run for the California Senate now. And it keeps going on, James. Yeah, I was working earlier on some kind of joke about, we'll lock her up somehow. We don't really care which her it is. You know, we'll find some her we've got to blame for all this, right? That is a lot on New World Next Week, episode 609. Feels good to be back, James. I run and help run newworldnextweek.com. And that's where we got, of course, awesome Monarchy gear. I've got, remember, the Smooth Ride on the zipper. And Monarchy hats as well. And some download goodies from Monarchy and Corbett. And again, you've never heard any commercials or advertisements on any of our work for our combined, 30-some plus years. And I do get to play the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes after my Thursday morning radio show, which you can go check out for free at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. James, how are the bears that they're sending out the army for? I hear there.
Luckily, we are not in the bear area here, so we're okay. But yeah, don't worry, guys. They're sending in the self-defense force to go take care of them now. So we'll see. Anyway, yes, I hope people will check out newworldnextweek.com if they want to help support this. And I think, you know, James, I'm going to have to run the math on this, but I think by next year, we're going to be able to say combined 40 years. I think that's the way the math will work out. So anyway, you can just count the number of gray hairs in our beards.
That's, I was just about to say, I think my beard just got grayer as you said that.
Having said that, thank you for these stories. Looking forward to doing it again next week.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care, man.
Take care.